I found the key a little bit, maybe. So you're welcome for the comedic routine tonight as we sing. But let's get our Bibles out now. So tonight we will briefly be in Proverbs chapter number 2. Proverbs chapter number 2. And before we get started tonight, before I open in a word of prayer, I got a couple of prayer requests here. I apologize, I forgot to mention this morning. Miss Kelsey's niece, her name is Sarah. Currently she has COVID and mono, right? So she is not feeling well at all right now. So please pray for Sarah. And then Miss Deb Greer, she called me this evening. She's not been feeling well today. It doesn't sound COVID related. She's just not feeling well. So let's be sure to pray for her. So before we pray, any other prayer pressing needs, prayer requests right here? Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Anything else before we pray? Yes, ma'am.
Derek.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Pray for Daniel and Caleb as they travel back from Wisconsin.
From Cheeseland, Cheesehead Land. He better have got his, Caleb better have got his cheesehead. That's why I told Brother Daniel.
I don't think he was at Green Bay.
No, I think you're not. I just meant like a cheesehead souvenir. I'm saying. Amen. So, yeah, definitely pray for them. Brother Daniel said things went well this morning. He was going to go build some contacts, but also they were delivering stuff for the ministry. They made it there safely, and I believe they'll head back tomorrow. Is that right? They'll be heading back tomorrow, so pray for them. And then the whole family will be here Wednesday, right? And then the quick turnaround, he's got another place. The Lord's opened a door for him back in Colorado. So Lord's using him, opening doors, and that's our prayer. That's our prayer, church, that the Lord would open doors for him, give him opportunities to present the ministry. So let's pray for Pastor Daniel and his family and the ORH as he is kind of heading up that. Anything else?
Pray for Dave.
Yes, ma'am. Pray for Dave. Pray for Dave. That's right. Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Miss Debbie. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. The Vaughts. That's correct. So I think they're COVID free, but there are a couple of them still not feeling very well. So pray for Josh and his family. Anything else? Well, if nothing else, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, for this wonderful opportunity to come to your house to address you in prayer. And Lord Jesus, I just thank you for saving our soul, forgiving us of our sins, Lord, and just making us your child. And we just praise your name for that. Lord, we come before you tonight on the behalf of all these needs. We pray for Miss Kelsey's niece, Sarah, God, that you would touch her physically and heal her. I pray, God, that is your will. And I pray you'd help her to see your hand in it and draw her closer to you through it. And I pray for Miss Deb as she's not feeling well. Miss Deb Greer, pray you just be with her tonight. Give her strength, heal her, we pray. We pray for Miss Debbie as she travels. Give her safe travels, I pray. As she's going where she's going, please be with Caleb and Pastor Daniel as they head home tomorrow. Thank you, Lord, for the open doors you are giving and you have given. And we pray for many more. And I pray you bring them home safely tomorrow. And we pray for all the others that have been mentioned, Lord, that are slipping my mind currently, the Unspokens, the Vaughts. We pray you to strengthen them and heal all of them so they can be back to be with us, Lord Jesus. Lord, we love you. And I pray now as I preach, you fill me with your spirit, that you clothe me in your armor, and you help me to rightly divide the word of truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Proverbs chapter 2. Tonight we're going to be reading verses 1 through 22. So you can remain seated for this, as we read a lengthy passage of Scripture, and then we'll dive right into the message. So, Proverbs chapter 2, I'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words, and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom out of his mouth, cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment, and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness, and judgment, and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. The wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressor shall be rooted out of it. So tonight, as I ask the Lord to add a blessing to the reading of his word, I want to preach on the thought, the protection of wisdom. And we're going to learn tonight from the word of God that there is protection for us when we get the wisdom the scriptures offer to us. It will protect us in very special ways. As we look in the text before us tonight, I actually plan to be brief. We'll see if that is true. But let's dive right into the passage as we look at the protection of wisdom. The first thing I want to point out are the requirements to receive the protection of wisdom. There are some requirements. You can't just be and it happen. There are some requirements to you obtaining the protection that wisdom has to offer. And the first thing we see as we look at our text, we see we must have a desire to hear what the scriptures have to say. You've got to want to hear them. You've got to want to read them. You've got to have a desire to hear what it has to say. Look at the beginning of verse number 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. So if thou wilt receive my words, do you want the protection that wisdom from the word of God has to offer? You've got to be willing to hear what God has to say. If you don't want to open your ears to what God has to say to you, then this book's not really going to do you any good. But you've got to be willing to hear. But not only must we be willing to hear, but we must have a desire to hide the scriptures in our heart. Look what it says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. So not only must we be willing to hear, but we must be willing to hide the scriptures in our hearts. See, the protection wisdom has to offer is wisdom that is worked hard for. This isn't wisdom that comes from a passing glance at the Word of God. But this is wisdom we're going to learn that comes from much digging and much labor and much work. From spending time, good time, serious time, focused time in the Word of God, digging. You got to be willing to do what the Scripture said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Store it up in your heart. So are you willing to hear it? Are you willing to hide it? We see the hiding. But thirdly, we see we must be willing to heed what the Scriptures say. This goes right along with what this morning we talked about. So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Let me read that again. So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart unto understanding. You've got to be willing to obey what you hear. This book, remember, the goal is to get it in us. And it will, the Bible says, transform us from the inside out. And that, but it won't do that until we do what verse 1 of Romans 12 says, surrender our bodies a living sacrifice. Seems like that's finding itself, and that is finding its way into a lot of my messages here lately. But we've got to be willing to surrender. It will not have an effect to us if we're not willing to hear it, hide it, heed it. But fourthly, we must be willing to work hard to do these things. And I may have forgot to put that one in there. But we must be willing to work hard to do these things. It is laborious. Look what it says in verses 3 and 4. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures. If I told you, I can guarantee you there's $1 million worth of gold somewhere on this property in the ground, I would like to think that you would work very hard to find it. You would dig up every square inch of this property, give all your labor, sweat, time, and money to finding that, because that is very valuable. But the Word of God is more valuable than any monetary thing that we can ever receive on this planet. And the Bible says if we want the protection that it has to offer, we've got to search for it like we're searching for gold. We've got to search for it like we're searching for hid treasures. That means we've got to dig and we've got to work hard. And some days we may come up empty-handed, but you be faithful and you continue to dig. And over time, it will begin to change your heart, change your life, and you will obtain the protection that wisdom has to offer. So we see there must be hearing, hiding, heeding, and you must be willing to work hard to do these things, because it is laborious. If it's going to have an impact on your life, some days are going to be hard. Some days you're not going to enjoy it. Some days you're going to read Chronicles or Leviticus or other passages of Scripture that don't seem like they're very helpful to you. But those passages connected with other passages change your life if you'll let them. But you got to dig into those passages. You read at face value, so-and-so, but I got so-and-so, but I got so-and-so, but I got so-and-so. But then when you dig, see, that's the key, when you dig for it, you begin to see what's really there, and it changes your life. But you got to be willing to work hard to get it. If you're like me, anybody here like hunting arrowheads? Are you honest? Like digging for arrowheads? Eating arrowheads. Hey, I like eating arrowheads. Amen and amen. That's it. But digging for arrowheads like Indian artifacts. Anybody here like doing that? Nobody. Amen. One. We got one. We got one crazy person in the back. Now, my dad and my brother love it. They love it. And they'll spend hours and hours digging and sifting and digging and sifting, trying to find, because they are willing to put the time in to find the precious artifact, the arrowhead that they're looking for. And then every year, it seems like on Father's Day, between church services, Dad's like, son, all I want you to do is go arrowhead hunting with me, both of you. Both my boys going arrowhead hunting with me, that's all I want. And that is the most miserable time in the whole world. So we're walking through the fields, picking up our dirt, digging a hole, sifting through it, finding nothing. And then when it's all over, say we find something, I'm like, sweet, let's go sell the thing. And they're like, no, you can't sell those. They're too special. I'm like, then why are we here? I'm not willing to put the work in. I hate it. I hate it. I love my dad. I love my brother. Hate hunting arrowheads. Hate it. But see, yeah, they know that. I promise. I told them that. But if we're going to obtain the wisdom, the protection wisdom has to offer from the Word of God, we're going to have to be willing to put the work in. And if we are, it'll change us. And it will protect us, as we're going to see here shortly. So we see the requirements to receive the protection of wisdom. But now we see the reasons we need the protection of wisdom. And the first one I want to point out is, it will cause the protection of wisdom. It will cause us to be faithful. Look at verse number 20. That thou mayest walk, that means continue, in the way of good men, and keep the paths of the righteous. If we're going to be faithful and continue in the paths of the righteous, we need the protection of wisdom. We need the wisdom the Scriptures have to offer. We need the discernment that we're going to talk about here in a few moments. We need that if we're going to be faithful in this Christian walk. We need it. So it will cause us to be faithful. Secondly, it will cause us to be fruitful. Verse 21, for the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. A land, I believe that's a reference talking about the promised land, or in the land that God has for us. The land of blessing. The land, I believe, of fruitfulness. If you get the protection wisdom has to offer and you live by the principles of the Word of God, you will be fruitful spiritually. Maybe not all the time, but like it talks about in Psalm 1, and you'll bear fruit in your season. Even if that means one day when we get to heaven, your whole life you've never seen the fruit. When we get to heaven, one day you're going to know the fruit of your labors. You will be faithful. It will cause us to be fruitful, but also it will prevent fatality. Verse 22. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. You see, if we don't have the protection of wisdom, our trajectory is death and destruction. I mean, obviously for a lost man, but even for children of God. If a child of God's not getting in the scriptures and doesn't have the protection of wisdom that we see in the scriptures in your life, your trajectory is just like Jonah. Couldn't think of the word. Jonah. Down, down, down. But see, God, and the Lord's not going to force himself on us. He's not going to force his wisdom on us. He's not going to force his protection on us. He's ready to give it. He is ready and raring. It's not like he's back home sleeping and we're going to have to wake him up to get it. He is ready, waiting, watching, listening for us to get to obtain this so he can do what he says he will do and protect us and offer what this has to offer. But we've got to want it. And we've got to want it, or otherwise it will result, I believe, in fatality. Because the child of God living in sin long enough, there comes a time where God will have to handle it, and God will have to handle it in a drastic manner. But that is why the protection of wisdom is so important. So it will cause us to be faithful, fruitful, and will prevent fatality. So, thirdly, now we see the result of receiving the protection of wisdom. That's my last point. Now, there are some sub-points, but we're on the last point already. So the result of receiving the protection of wisdom. First, we see discernment in verses 5 and 6. And man, isn't this something that is lacking in the world today? Discernment. Nobody has any of it. Everybody does what feels right. What they have been taught's right. And what we've been indoctrinated to believe what's right. But if we get in the Word of God, we look at the world through a biblical lens, we can handle every situation in our life with discernment. We can handle it with tact, in a manner that is pleasing to God. I apologize, I got something in my eye there. So discernment, verses 5 and 6 says, "Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." So we see we get discernment, we get understanding. We will then know how to walk and how to live. But we see also in verse number 7, we see defense. And we're talking about protection. Now discernment protects us. Discernment protects us from making ignorant decisions in this life. But praise God, we've also got the defense we see in verse number 7. "He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler," that means a shield, "to them that walk uprightly." You walk uprightly, you have the protection of wisdom. God himself is your shield. Because there's going to come a time where we put on all the armor that God has given us to put on. And when the battle rages and we've got it all on, what we've got to do is hide behind the shield of faith, which is our God. And that it will be a defense to you and to me. So it will defend us. We see discernment. We see defense. And we see also direction. You want to know what God wants you to do, where he wants you to go, how he wants you to act, what job he wants you to take? Well, we've got direction, verses 8 and 9. "He keepeth," that means he guardeth, "the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path." So we see here, he'll show us the way. And I believe when we're on the path he wants us on, he will guard our steps. See, that when we get the discernment and we get the direction from God, it helps us avoid a lot of side paths that could hurt us, stun our growth, or even destroy our testimony. If we'll just get the protection that wisdom has to offer. So we see discernment, we see defense, we see direction, and we see also, and finally, deliverance. In verses 10 through 19, first we see deliverance from evil men. That's what we need. There's a lot of evil men in the world today. And if we're not careful, we'll be ensnared by them. Because evil men don't always look like evil men. It's not an evil man with a humpback, with a messed up eye. And he said, "Come over here and do with me." No. A lot of times they're enticing. A lot of times they're silver-tongued devils. That's why we need the discernment and the direction the scriptures have to offer, so we can weed out what is right and what is wrong. We see it protects us. There's deliverance from evil men, verses 10 through 15. "When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul." Listen at that. When it enters into your heart. It doesn't say when you read it once. When it enters into your heart. I mean, we've got to hide it in our heart. It means we've got to be willing to put the work in. But when we do, when we hide it in our heart, knowledge will be pleasant unto our soul. It'll taste better than anything we'll ever eat or drink. So as we continue, their discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. See, if you're not where you need to be with the Lord, they speak froward things, we may be deceived by them. But if we have the wisdom, the protection of wisdom, when they say those words, well, no, that's not true. Because that's not what the Bible says. Then we can turn from that, and we can shun that. To deliver thee from the way of evil men, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and they froward in their paths. You see, if we get the protection of wisdom, now it's hard to get. You got to work hard for it. It's not fun. Now, when you get into it, you will begin to enjoy it. But as you get started, it's hard and it's not fun. The times I've been in the gym, when I'm usually severely out of shape when I go, and the first few weeks, months are miserable. But over time, I began to see improvements. And Carrie says, well, you need to get back in there now. I can hear it. I can hear it. I hear you, Carrie. But I begin to see improvements, and I begin to enjoy it. And that's the way it is with the Scriptures. We got to be willing to put the work in. And as we push through the barriers of when we're bored or when we're struggling or when we don't want to do it, if we'll push through that, we'll get the discernment and we'll get the defense, so, and we'll be delivered from evil men. But not only from evil men, but I believe also from an evil mind, as we see in verses 16 through 19. To deliver thee from strange women, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold on the paths of life. And you all know what's being said there, what the picture that is being painted there, a strange woman. We live in a world that what is placed before our eyes every single day. Turn the TV on, turn the computer on, read a magazine, go anywhere and see people dressed. I mean, that is what is shoved in our face. And if we allow our flesh to dictate our actions, we will be allured and drawn by that, which starts in our mind, which results in our action. That's why we need the protection of wisdom, so that when we see that, we can be like Job and say, I've made a covenant with mine eyes. That's what we need to do, but we've got to get in, we've got to put the work in so that the Scriptures, the wisdom of the Word of God, will protect us. Or we can try to fend for ourselves, and you're going to fail. I've failed. If we try to do it on our own, we're going to fail. But this book has wisdom that, if we will let it, will protect us. But the question is, will we let it? Will we let it? So as Miss Anna comes to the piano, 16 minutes. There you go. As Miss Anna comes to the piano tonight, where has this message found you tonight?